Did you ever have an imaginary friend when you were a kid? I did. His name was Freckles the Clown. He had red fuzzy tufts of hair jutting out of the sides of his head at odd angles. His eyelids were painted blue and his face was painted white. He had a red nose and lots of freckles. The freckles weren't just on his face, either, but all over his clothes and arms, like a million little misshapen polka dots. Or like blood splatter. When I walked home from school, Freckles would tag along. I didn't have many friends, only one or two, and they had other friends who they spent most of their time with. So, I was left alone with Freckles. We'd splash through mud puddles together in the spring, make piles of leaves and dive into them in the fall. We'd make snow forts in the winter and snowmen to guard them. I never had many real friends, but I was never lonely as long as Freckles was around to keep me company. But what I didn't know was that Freckles was a jealous imaginary friend. He didn't like me hanging out with anybody except for him. One day at school, I made a friend. A real one. A real one. Not invisible like Freckles. A kid named Peter started talking to me during recess. We were both playing on the jungle gym when I saw a South Park t-shirt. I complimented him on it and said that that was my favorite show, even though technically I wasn't allowed to watch it. That seemed to be enough information for him to decide I was okay. He told me that a bunch of his friends were coming over that weekend for his birthday party and invited me to come. I looked around to see where Freckles was, since I always looked for his approval. He was nowhere to be seen. It was like he had just vanished. I told Peter I'd be happy to go to his birthday party. He gave me his address and told me to be there Saturday around noon. An extra invitation was in his backpack, and he gave it to me at the end of the day, hastily filled out with my name. Misspelled, but that was okay. I was actually invited to a birthday party for the first time in my life. I couldn't believe it. The rest of the week, I was so excited about the birthday party. It was all I talked about. To my parents, my teachers, to everybody willing to listen. Freckles, however, seemed like he was mad at me, though. He didn't want me to talk about the birthday party, didn't even want to hear about it. Eventually, he seemed to come around, though. By Friday night, he was excited as I was, but not for the same reasons. Saturday finally came, and my mom drove me to Peter's house. She dropped me off and gave me a kiss on the cheek, telling me to be good before driving away. I went inside and found a bunch of kids from my class who were already there, playing Pin the Tail on the Donkey and wearing pointed cardboard hats covered in polka dots. "Hey, look who's here," Peter said when I got inside. He introduced me to his other friends, who pretended to meet me for the first time. It was weird because I had seen them all in school for years, but they acted like I was new to the neighborhood or something. It didn't bother me though. I was just excited to be included for once.
"Did you bring a jacket?" Peter asked. "We're gonna go out in the forest and play paintball with slingshots."
It turned out his mom had just bought a jumbo container of paintballs and a dozen slingshots for his birthday party, since that was what he wanted to do more than anything on his special day. What a great mom. I'd indeed bought a jacket with me, and I put it on after we had eaten lunch. I was stuffed from the kid-friendly spread consisting of pizza, Pepsi, and ice cream cake. The 10 of us went outside and made our way to the nearby forest. It's funny. These days, stuff like this would probably never fly, giving kids slingshots and projectiles and sending them out into the forest to have fun. But that's how it was back then. Nobody thought anything of it. We all split up for the free-for-all match and agreed we would meet up again where we started, at the entrance to the forest, once an hour had passed. The ground was muddy, and fallen leaves covered the forest floor as I walked around by myself, no longer feeling so lonely. Everyone had scattered throughout the forest. Strangely, I didn't see anyone for a while. Even Freckles had disappeared on me. I wondered if maybe he was mad that I was making new friends. But he seemed excited about the party the day before. It didn't make sense. The whole hour went by and nobody shot a single paintball, as far as I could tell. There were no joyous yells or playful insults ringing through the trees. It was dead silent. In fact, as if even the birds had become mute or had fled the woods entirely.
Silence permeated everything, and the sound of my boots crunching through the leaves was all I could hear. A full hour had passed, so I went uneasily back to the forest entrance, unsure what I would find there. Part of me thought maybe everyone had ditched me and run for the hills, realizing how much of a loser I actually was. Nobody was at the forest entrance. All the kids were still out there somewhere, roaming the woods. My unease growing more and more with each step, I began to search for them. I didn't know why, but a knot of worry was growing steadily in my belly, getting larger and heavier by the second. It took a while to find them. They were all together, so that made it easier. I was drawn in by the sound of someone chewing something stringy and wet, like an animal. The sounds of teeth snapping cartilage and chewing gristle became even clearer as I drew near. Freckles was crouched and perched on a log like a wild primate. He was covered in blood and stripping the flesh from a piece of bone, licking his lips when he saw me. An overjoyed giggle poured out of him. Around him were the corpses of my new friends. Bloody, ragged, ripped flesh hung from their bones in places where he had taken big bites. Their clothes were ripped and torn from their struggles to escape him.
You were right!
He announced when he saw me.
Birthday parties are fun!
My voice caught in my throat as I tried to scream, unable to make a sound.
I'm so glad you invited me.
I have always loved animals, and this is the story of how I can barely even look at a dog anymore. Ever since I was a child, I knew I wanted a career where I would need to work with animals. A few weeks ago, my junior year ended and summer vacation started. I thought it was finally time to decide what I really wanted to do with my life, since I need to start applying to colleges soon. I wanted to get a part-time job for the summer, hoping it would give me a better idea of what working with animals would be like. I started researching, and that's when I came across pet sitting. I never knew that was an option. Being paid to spend some time with animals felt like a dream. I immediately started scouring websites, looking for a job in the area. I finally found one close enough. Mr. Smith had a work meeting in another state and needed someone to take care of his Shih Tzu, Fluffy, overnight. I applied for the job, and after asking a few questions about myself, Mr. Smith selected me for it. Finally, the day of the job was here. I was bursting with excitement. I took out a bag to pack some of the stuff I need over the night. As soon as I did, I received a phone call.
Hi, Amanda.
A heavy voice came through the phone.
This is Mr. Smith. You're supposed to come by later this evening. I was wondering if you could possibly drop by a little bit early.
I looked at the empty overnight bag in the front of me and replied, I'm sorry, Mr. Smith. I don't think that would be possible. Is there anyone else who could let me in?
I'm afraid not.
After about a moment of awkward silence, he continued,
How about I just leave the key under the doormat, and you can let yourself in?
Sure, I can do that.
Great, just make sure you take Fluffy out for a walk when you arrive.
Yeah, of course. My words were cut off by a distant screaming, presumably directed at Mr. Smith.
I hear you're going away for the night. Make sure to take that damn nuisance with you.
The voice of the man was rough and hostile. His words were no better. Is everything okay? I asked.
Yeah, that's just old Larry. Never liked a living thing around him. He'll most likely scream at you too when you're walking Fluffy. Just ignore him and keep walking. He gets a little crazy. He's not dangerous, just very loud.
Great, I thought to myself.
Anyway,
Mr. Smith continued.
I'll leave the key under the doormat. Thanks.
No problem. Bye. I hung up the phone. After packing a pair of nightclothes, toiletries, and some other things, I headed out. I reached the house and bent down to lift the doormat. I picked up the key and opened the door. And before I even had a chance to look around, Fluffy jumped on me in excitement. Even while jumping, she barely reached my knee. I'd met her a few times before today. She was the sweetest dog. She never even barked at strangers, much less bite them. Still, Mr. Smith and I thought it best to familiarize myself with Fluffy beforehand. I dropped my bag on the side, and after a few encouraging words and pats on the head, I turned around to face the door where Fluffy's leash was hanging on the hook. I picked it up, attached it to her harness, and walked out the door. As I locked the door, I felt Fluffy pulling on the harness. For such a small dog, she was using a considerable amount of force. Considering I had a long history of losing keys, I thought it best to leave it where I had found it. Fluffy kept tugging, and so I quickly bent down again and left the key under the doormat in a hurry. We took a few rounds of the park nearby, making it a point to not go too close to any of the houses. I didn't want to get screamed at by Larry. After reaching back to the Smith residence, I let out a loud sigh of relief. No screaming, hateful neighbors. I bent down again to pick up the key, but before I could lift the doormat, I noticed the key lying on the side. It was half peeking out underneath the doormat. I picked it up while shaking my head, mentally chastising myself for my recklessness. I walked inside, untethered Fluffy's leash, and finally looked around. The first thing that caught my eye was the hideous clown statue in the living room corner. It was facing the sofa, which was my bed for the night. I stared at the statue with a disgusted look on my face. It was a quintessential clown, fully equipped with a white face, red nose, colorful clothing, and comical oversized gloves and shoes. How am I supposed to sleep with that thing staring at me? I thought out loud. A blaring alarm pulled me out of my head. I pulled up my phone and switched off the alarm. It was time for Fluffy's dinner. I walked to the kitchen while shaking my head, trying to get the clown off my mind. I filled Fluffy's bowl with the dog food and set it down for her. She dug into it immediately. My head snapped back when I heard a thud coming from the other room. There was no one in the house but Fluffy and me. My heartbeat quickened. I picked up a knife from the kitchen counter and slowly walked to the living room. I looked around and sighed in relief. There was nothing there. But just to be safe, I checked the two bedrooms and the bathroom down the hallway. I found nothing there either. With a sigh of relief, I sat down on the couch and put the knife on the table in front of me. A shiver ran down my spine as I remembered the clown. I could feel it staring at me. It made me beyond uncomfortable. I looked around, picked up the tablecloth, and threw it over the clown's head. Even with the sheet over him, his shoes were poking out. I tried to forget about it and relax, but I found myself constantly looking back at it. Every time I did, it just got creepier. Who puts a clown in the living room? I thought to myself. I couldn't sit here with the statue there, and I definitely couldn't sleep here. I picked up my phone and dialed Mr. Smith's number. After a few rings, he finally picked up.
Hi, Amanda. Is everything okay?
I spoke hesitantly. Yeah. I just wanted to ask if it will be okay if I move the statue out of the living room. I started speaking faster, feeling the need to justify myself. I'll put it back before I leave. It's just making me a little uncomfortable, and I'm not sure if I'll be able to sleep with it here.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble understanding you. What are you talking about?
My voice came out even more hesitant than before. The clown statue, in the corner? A moment passed by with no reply. I lifted the phone off my ear to check if the call was still connected. Then I heard a whisper.
Amanda, we don't have a clown statue.
My body tensed. With every word he uttered, his voice grew louder until he finally screamed out the words.
Get out of there now!
As soon as Mr. Smith said those last words, I felt a faint breath on my ear. The next few things happened instantaneously, and at that moment, I felt like the world slowed down and sped up all at the same time. Panic and adrenaline filled my body. I looked back and saw a flash of white. I felt a jarring pain on the side of my abdomen. It was the clown. What I thought was a statue was standing right behind me. I screamed at the top of my lungs and kicked the clown between the legs. It cried out in pain and momentarily toppled over. I ran to the door, only to find it locked with a deadbolt. The thud from before, I thought. The clown had locked me in. I saw it getting up, and I ran down the hallway into one of the bedrooms. I locked the door behind me. Only once I had stopped running did I fully feel the pain in the side of my abdomen. There was a gushing stab wound. I put pressure on the wound to stop it from bleeding, but it wouldn't stop. I felt dizzy. Right as I thought I would pass out from the pain, I heard Fluffy cry. I cursed under my breath. I knew I couldn't leave her alone. I picked up the only thing I thought I could use as a weapon, a lamp, and slowly limped outside. I wanted to call out to Fluffy, but I knew I couldn't make any noise. When I reached the end of the hallway, I had to fight every bone in my body not to let out a scream. On the floor was a pool of blood that I was desperately hoping was not Fluffy's. Just the thought of it made my stomach churn. I heard laughter behind me, horrid, shrill, evil laughter. I turned around, and the clown was standing across the room, laughing at me. The instant I looked at his face, all hope left my body. Blood was dripping down his mouth. My face must have shown how horrified I was, and it made the clown smile wider. Its teeth had bits of fur stuck in it. Fluffy's fur. I felt my stomach churn at the realization of what it had done. He started walking closer, and I started backing away. Even though I was terrified, I could hear the distant sirens in the background, which momentarily flooded me with relief. Mr. Smith must have phoned the police, but all I could focus on was Fluffy's blood dripping down its face. How could you? I croaked. He smiled and kept walking towards me until I hit the door. Before I could run, he was on top of me. We fell to the floor in a tussle. With a sinister smile on his face, he said,
"It's your turn."
That voice. I knew that voice. As he picked up the knife in his hand to stab me again, the door burst open. The police fired 3 consecutive shots, and its body fell on top of me. Larry's body fell on top of me. I passed out from the shock. When I came to, I was in a hospital bed. An officer was sleeping in the chair across the room. I cleared my throat, and he woke up with a jolt. "You're awake," he said. I simply nodded. He proceeded to tell me that I was lucky to be alive. He told me about how they searched Larry's house and found jars of body parts, both animal and human. The officer got up from his chair, his hands together tightly in front of him. He wished me well again. He repeated how lucky I was to be alive. But I didn't feel lucky. The events of last night would never stop replaying in my mind. Most of all, I would never forget Fluffy. From that moment on, every time I would look at a dog, the image of the clown's face, mouth dripping with blood and fur stuck in his teeth, would flash across my eyes.